by music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Here we are again, we being the usual teams, except for Frank. So meet John Amis and Peter Jones. Versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, I turn to you first. Emma Kirkby, singing what, John, from Who's What?
It's Mozart.
Yes.
It's the Exultate Jubilate.
Yes, and singing the Alleluia there
it's
from.
It's very difficult in the middle, if you don't happen to have those high notes coming easily. Which,
written,
of course,
by the
Emma
way...
does.
Isn't she a sweetie?
Yes, lovely.
Very written,
lovely.
By the way, when Mozart was 17. How about that early promise? Goodness.
He's composing in the cradle, isn't he?
Peter Jones, here's a Sousa march called The Pride of the Wolverines.
Yes, that's Sousa, all right.
Yeah. Peter, my question, why on earth should that make me think of this early jazz genius? A connection.
Yes. I think that was Bix Beiderbecke.
Yes, it was.
And he had, what was the name? The Wolverines.
Ah, that's right. You got it. You're there.
They were called the Wolverines.
Good old jazz buff. He was playing with a band called the Wolverines.
That's it,
right. Yes. Bix Beiderbecke, I think he would have called
Beiderbecke,
it.
Beiderbecke, anyway, he would prefer it, yes.
Yes. Right. Ian, there is something that you and I have both done in our time, which I suspect you enjoy, though I quite frankly do not. Namely, and to wit, narrating Peter and the Wolf. Mm. Russian jokes really aren't quite my scene. Anyway, whose version is this?
The wolf gets in such a fury with the bird. Oh, he wants to grab hold of him, have another bird supper. But the bird was much too clever, and the wolf simply couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
That leprechaun gets in everywhere, doesn't he?
Yes.
I do enjoy it, but about Russian jokes, I usually actually do it in English, Steve. But that's Terry Wogan.
Yes, Terry Wogan, with the Boston Pops Orchestra there. Not that they ever met, of course. I mean, the Boston Pops Orchestra recorded it under John Williams, and they sent it out to different countries. And in this country, you have Terry Wogan doing the narration. In other countries, you'll have other people. It's a kind of international...
That's what might be described as a good wheeze.
Yeah. Yes, or a vast international spy ring or something. Yeah. Anyway, yes, good wheeze. Dennis, here are four young men called Cantabile, with the verse of which old favourite?
Who's that coming down the street? Who's that looking so petite? Who's that coming down to meet me? Who's that? You know who I mean, sweetest who you've ever seen. I could tell her miles away from here.
It's one of those, that's my baby type, that's the girl, that's my gal, that's, it's one of those type of songs.
Let's get Cantabile to confirm the answer.
Yes, sir, that's my baby, no, sir, I mean maybe, yes, sir, that's my baby now. Sweet cookie.
Sweet cookie, I love that.
They're very good, Cantabile, aren't they? I heard them on a radio program. They do very good musical jokes.
That barbershop stuff is so hard to do.
Is it?
Yeah. It's got to be done so right, hasn't it, John? Beautiful. Very exposed there. Mm-hmm. So to the words of songs. John, I suspect a tautology in my quotation for you. On land or sea or foam. What's that come from?
You want me to explain that?
No, not really. I'd just like to tell me the name of the song.
I see. On land or sea or foam.
Show me the way to go home.
Yes. Thank you, Peter. You got it. Show me the way to go home. I don't think sea and foam don't differ, really, do they? I don't think in any way. Peter, fond of fun as fond can be when it's on the strict QT. Comes from the verse of a song. And do you know what QT stands for?
Quiet.
Yes, that's its origin. QT. Quiet.
Yes.
Do you know the song? Fond of fun as fond. It was stupendously popular in the, what, towards the end of the last century, I think.
Oh, it was then.
Mm. Yes.
Well...
Shall I play you the first three notes?
Thanks.
Sure, first three notes.
Ah, yes, yes. Tarara bum die.
Oh, I did it. No, I only just thought of that. You're absolutely right. From Tarara Boomdie. And QT stands for quiet, yeah.
Yes.
Ian, can you place a song that mentions cobblestones?
Yes, I can.
Good.
Yes, I can.
Do.
It's one of my favourite songs, actually. And it goes... in an old-fashioned house, in an old-fashioned street, in a quaint little old-fashioned town, there's a street where the cobblestones harass the feet as it straggles uphill and then down.
May I write that down? Because I didn't know that.
It's by W.H. Squire.
Yeah, I know the song, actually, yes. But I wasn't thinking of that. Dennis, you know which
on
song.
On cobblestones I lay.
Yes, underneath the arches.
Yes.
On cobblestones we lay, yes. Or lie, as I would perhaps put it. Yes, and you lay eggs, don't you, but lie on cobblestones.
Well, it has to rhyme with a way.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. Dennis, where can I find the three words, walk into things?
Walk into
difficultness.
Walk into
Shall I play you the
yes.
little line?
That's not walk into things. That's bump into things, isn't it?
Bump
lately,
into things. Well, I've heard people sing walk into things, bump into things.
I walk as though... Yeah. Yes. As though I had wings, bump into things.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Like, the tune is called Like...
Like someone in love.
Yeah, thank you, right. The difficulty with my piano medley is not so much recognising the tunes as getting straight to their titles. This may apply now, I think. Anyway, we'll see. As I asked John and Peter to write down the first four tune titles and Ian Dennis the second four.
First four.
First tune you got?
Well, I thought the first one was Lily of Laguna.
Yes.
And then there was a lot of sort of rather...
It was rather, yes.
I don't know what that was, because I wasn't sure that it wasn't going on to be Lily of Laguna, and more of it. No, and then it turned into My Old Dutch at the end. So there was an area in the middle that was rather vague.
I don't know if anybody out there played My Old Dutch. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, no.
What was the last one?
Lily of Laguna, then there's a little bit of I Walk Alone, then there's I Go Along. Remember Clopin, Clopin? Remember the song? Billy Cotton used to say, me and the boys will play Clock In, Clock Out.
I think it would be a terribly good thing, Steve, if you would give a sniff when you get to halfway mark.
Yes, that would be helpful.
Fire a cannon, release a gas balloon. Yeah. Anyway, halfway I got there with Etienne Bergère. Then came Ian, Dennis?
Lincolnshire Poacher.
Thank you very much. Yes, and then the...
That's Chai.
Yes, Chai. From the Sixth Symphony, as you were about to say, I interrupted you.
The end of the one that everybody thinks it's the end and applaud, and there's another movement.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. Then...
Well, this is Ian's speech.
Yes.
will be there.
Yes.
At the end of the road.
And the last bit I played was...
Three cheers for the red, white and blue. Sir.
Thank you very much. You've done very well on that side.
Somebody told me the other day about a performance of Chai 6, and the audience applauded at the end of the third movement, as usual. But then in the slow movement, you know, there's a bit where it goes... And the audience applauded again. So the orchestra got up and went out. They got
a little experiment. Will you please, each of you, take pen in hand and help me with a definition? Will you please write down what an interval is? What is an interval? It's my question. And since John knows, well, you all know, but John, what have you writ, please?
Well, I haven't.
No, what are you writing?
It's the difference between two notes.
Yes, the space, as it were, between two notes.
It's a third. It's a fifth.
More or less.
It's also what happens in the middle of a concert or a...
Well, yes, somebody else... Peter, what did you write down for an interval?
Well, it's the period of time in the middle of a West End play when the theatre management hope to make a profit on ice cream.
Yes. That's true. But not out of me.
No.
There, those interval crowds. Ian, what did you write down, just for interest?
As a performer, the interval is very often a time for frenzied quick change.
Yes.
A frenzied look at the words of the songs you're going to sing or the opera that you're going to sing in the next act or bit. And hopefully a cup of tea.
Yeah.
But it is not a time for relaxing on the whole.
And may I say, it's not a time for friends to come backstage and say, hello,
never,
Ian.
Never, absolutely.
Absolutely never. I thought I'd just mention that. Dennis, what did you write down?
Well, I achieved one of... I don't know whether I've told you this story. One of the... I've had very few really triumphant moments in my life when you really hear trumpets somewhere in the background. I don't go to the theatre much simply because I can't stand the interval. It always seems as though, just as I get into it, the curtain comes down, the light goes up, and I'm back to where... It doesn't happen in the cinema, which is one argument for the cinema. But anyway, I went to this theatre, and there was this mob there, and there was an American by the side of me, and he said, "You think we're going to get a drink?" I said, "Well, I'm going to try." And I pushed through, and I got drinks for myself and my party, and I bought them back, and the bell rang, just it was the end, you know, and the set was starting. Yeah. And one of the party said to me, "Do you know who that was you were talking to?" And I said, "No." They said, "It was Paul Getty." Oh. The richest man in the world couldn't get a drink, and I got one.
Lesson there somewhere. Let's go to Glyndebourne, if only through a record album. Glyndebourne Festival 50th Anniversary. John, a slightly obscure opera, this one. Can you place it?
I think it's Busoni's Arlecchino.
Arlecchino, one-act opera, Capriccio by Busoni, that's right. Did you recognise the singer? Because I'm sure Ian did, if you didn't.
Oh, yes, Ian was in it, weren't you?
I was in it, yes.
But I did recognise the harmonies. I couldn't identify the particular
piece. The singer, Ian, was...
Oh, that was the unmistakable sound of Murray Dickey.
Murray Dickey, that's right.
And the only opera, really, that I've ever been in where I played a very sad part. And I really enjoyed that, because most of the other opera parts were sort of bumbling old idiots. And here was I was a cuckolded husband. And it was, you know, very, very... And it was very touching, but very difficult musically. You were, all the whole time, you were thinking, lose concentration and I'm going to be in the Mulligatawny any minute.
Isn't it lovely to be so successful that when they want a bumbling old idiot, they always think of Ian Wallace?
Yes, it has given me pause once or twice.
Yes,
Steve,
sure. Yes, Arlecchino by Busoni. Peter, among those wonderful Glyndebourne baritones, you might not have expected to find this distinguished, and I think distinguishable, voice.
Long hath happy could I be with either, were t'other dear charmer away. But while you thus tease me together, to neither a word will I say. But
I think you've got him.
Yes, well, I wouldn't have recognised it from the voice, I don't think, but I know that at around that time Michael Redgrave was there, because I went to school with his a cousin of his, and so I heard all about it.
Yes, Sir Michael Redgrave.
Right?
That's
yes.
Right. It was in 1940, actually.
Yes.
Would you rather I hadn't mentioned the year? Oh, no, you went to school with him, were you?
I was school before that.
Yes. Most singers show some decline in a third of a century. A fortunate few don't. Ian, there are very few singers whom one could ask to do this. Your big Act One aria in La Cenerentola begins like this in your 1953 recording. 1963, 73, 83 go by. Let's see if you can pick it up live when your old recording stops.
I miei rampolli femminili. Vi ripudio, mi vergogno.
Ian.
Un magnifico mio sogno mi venisti a sconcertar. Mi venisti a sconcertar. Vi ripudio, mi vergogno.
Già. No.
Can we have an interval of 5 minutes?
Yes. Dennis, all
you're
these...
not going to give me any of that
no,
stuff.
Listen, all these Glyndebourne memories, listen. Dennis, that's from Mozart's Idomeneo in the Glyndebourne production. The great authority on that particular opera house and author of a book of the same name is S. Hughes.
Who's he?
Tell me about him. S. Hughes.
S. Hughes was... The S. Hughes that I knew, Frank and I knew, was Spike Hughes.
Same man.
Who was a great friend of... I mean, what do you want to know? He was a very nice man. He was a friend of Ted Kavanagh, who wrote Itmar at the time when Frank and I were working with... Ted Kavanagh, also working with Peter Jones on a series called In All Directions. Spike. And Spike was a classically trained musician who also had a jazz band, which at one time had Coleman Hawkins
in it. Yeah, a very good one. He had an American band, that's right.
And
same man, Patrick Cairns Hughes, son of the composer Herbert Hughes, Spike Hughes.
Hughes. He wrote for the Daily Herald.
Spike, that's right.
Very amusing and nice man,
That's right. Some gardeners believe that plants grow faster or more successfully if you talk to them. It certainly works with the moss on my lawn. The more I swear at it, the better it does. But singing to plants or flowers seems perhaps a better idea. But which song should we sing? That's up to you. John, what would you sing to a flower or plant to make it
well? The only thing that comes to mind is probably something that will get cut out of the show, and it's recitative rather than arioso. It's that when W.C. Fields had people coming round and he wanted them to see his gardens, and he used to go out to the flowers and say, "Bloom, you bastards, bloom!"
Well, he could have sung it. Peter, are you green-fingered?
Not very, no. One could sing sort of... Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. But that's more in the nature of a proposal, isn't it? What about the sun has got his hat on? That would sort of encourage them, wouldn't it? The sun has got his hat on. He's coming up today, you know. Oh. That'd get them going.
Yes, I buy that. That do not
you do?
Yes, I buy that. Thank you, Ian. A song for your flowers?
A little plantation song called "Fertilizer Jane," and ballad, famous ballad by Peter Dawson, who also wrote it.
roots.
Oh, roots, marching up and down again. Sort of, yes. Dennis.
Well, I've imported a line from a kind of sister program where I did a whole story about singing to plants. And the line that I used was, what shall we do with the shrunk azalea?
Well, Mr. Mowbray of Bognor Regis suggests that you should sing Sheep May Safely Graze to Your Flocks. About that. Four songs. The first of them features whispering Peter Jones, conversational vocalist extraordinaire, in a song from 1926.
Mama's got shoes, Mama's got clothes, Mama's got these, Mama's got those, but poor Papa, he's got nothing at all. Mama goes here, Mama goes there, Mama goes out to every affair, but poor Papa, he waits out in the hall. Christmas comes and Mama gets the most expensive frocks. Papa gets a necktie and a pair of 10-cent socks. Mama's got silk and satin beneath. She's got gold in
I've
all
lost
the...
you.
Sorry?
I've lost you. I'm
I
sorry.
Lost you as well. What a coincidence.
Let us give them the last eight bars with one accord, shall we? What's the last
eight bars? Yeah, you mean the second page?
Well, from the da-da-dum bar.
What?
From the,
This is going to make Dennis sound marvellous, you know.
Would you like him to do it all again?
No, make him play it again.
All right, here we go.
Mama's got shoes, Mama's got clothes, Mama's got these, Mama's got those, but poor Papa, he's got nothing at all. Mama goes here, Mama goes there, Mama goes out to every affair, but poor Papa, he waits out in the hall. Christmas comes and Mama gets the most expensive frocks. Papa gets a necktie and a pair of 10-cent socks. Mama's got silk and satin beneath. She's got gold in all of her teeth. But poor Papa, he's got no teeth at all.
This little romance by Shostakovich, of all people, came from a film, John, didn't it?
Yes, The Gadfly.
Yes.
It was also used in a television serial.
Takes place, a family had hired a charabang, whatever that was, and I think it broke down or something.
Well, the driver put on, in order to spare you the long, very long verse, they went out, the family charabang outing, and the driver jammed on the brakes too fast.
Right.
Pa fell out, Pa fell out. The beer we had inside the gallon jar fell out. Uncle Bins fell out and the twins fell out. When the man who played the cornet for his sins fell out. Where our sharabang had rested, there were little bits of us all strewn about. Then a policeman said, push off, so the driver gave a cough, and he tried to start the engine, but the works fell out.
And so we come to Ian, and at my request, actually, an informative song by Flanders and Swann called Tonga.
Oh, it's hard to say, Hulima, Kitiluka, Chi-Chi-Chi. But in Tonga, that means no. If I ever have the money, 'tis to Tonga I shall go. For each lovely Tongan maiden there will gladly make a date. And by the time she said, Huli makitaluka chi chi chi, it is you. Usually too late.
But not too late to tell you that this week's victory goes to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Peter Jones, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race, the questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the programme was produced by Pete Atkin.